From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging, but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice, but what a race, what a sport, what a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus, he won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch, Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Bolduro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And for the third consecutive year, welcome to Barbados, the tiny island paradise, which is home to the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup, and we are happy to have you with us as we ready for that event later this afternoon. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, we are with you again, and Jude, as the unofficial ambassador to Barbados, my friend, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be home. I'll tell you, when you get off the plane here, it just is a completely different feeling. Your blood pressure lowers, and it's just a delight to be here. This is our third year in a row at Garrison Savannah for the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup, and I never thought in my wildest imagination that we'd have that streak going.
No, and it was some 25 years ago, maybe even a little bit more than that, that I visited Suffolk Downs in East Boston to watch Larry Colmus for the first time, my first time ever meeting announcer Larry Colmus. I got a chance to meet him. I got a chance to sit in his booth and watch him do the scratches. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And Larry Colmus has made the trip to Barbados with us. He is part of our broadcast team later this afternoon and with us this morning on the Equine Forum. This may be the coolest thing ever now.
I'd have to think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, here we are together in beautiful Barbados, and my blood pressure's lower now that my luggage finally arrived. But now it is down, and we're feeling good. And, by the way, you know, this is just – I'm just looking forward to all the pomp and circumstance you guys have been telling me about and what I've read about and how exciting this day is going to be right now. It's just an absolutely beautiful morning down here, and it's been a fun trip so far.
We came out for the scurries last night, and this is something that the Barbados Turf Club does every year the evening before the Barbados Gold Cup. And if you're wondering what scurries are, they are four-horse amateur races, and they're a lot of fun to watch. And keep in mind, here at Garrison Savannah, they run clockwise, so they have a turf course on the outside of a small dirt course, which is pretty much used just for training, but they do the scurries on the dirt course to preserve the turf course for this afternoon's Barbados Gold Cup. And JT, I know that was a blast last night.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen in those races. You see horses of all shapes and sizes, some that are current runners, some that are out of training, but still competing in other facets of equine sport. But it was fun last night. Everybody had a good time. It's a big party the night before to celebrate the Gold Cup. All the owners and trainers come out. Mr. Ramsey was here in all of his glory with his grandson Nolan and his fiance Katie Kloss. And so it was a lot of fun. We had a few cocktails. We had some good banter with the locals, and it's a nice way to set the mood.
Let's get this out of the way right off the bat. Many people, when they tune into this show, have become accustomed to hearing me talk about my dietary habits when I come to Barbados. As people know, I don't eat fish, so this really isn't the place for me when it comes to culinary delights. But here's what I've eaten so far. I had chicken parmesan last night. Started with a hamburger.
Our Barbados specialty, chicken parmesan. Shaking my head if you can't see it.
Started with a hamburger the first night, and in between, I think I mixed in some barbecue spare ribs. So yeah. I'm doing well.
Actually, mine hasn't been too much different than yours. I'd done the burgers and the spare ribs. I did have some flying fish, though.
Yeah, you did have flying fish.
Caesar salad. Yeah, it was really good. And the food's terrific down here. Everything's terrific. You know, it's just a great atmosphere. Last night was so much fun, and getting to hang out with, you know, the other race callers down here, Dean Springer and Lyndon Yard, and I'm going to get a chance to join them in the booth today. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're going to call the Spa Sprint. Is that right?
That's right, the Spa Sprint, which is 5.5 furlongs, be the first clockwise race I've ever called in my life. So that's going to be interesting.
And these guys are no dummies. They give you a full field. They say, hey, we'll give the new guy the full field.
Yeah. I get 12 horses. One owner, Sir David Seal, with three of them, which means they'll have the same silk. So they're going to make me work, but hell, you know, I can do it. We can figure it out.
It's a bit of an undulating turf course here, too. It's somewhat egg-shaped, right, Jude? Is that the right way to describe
it? Yeah, I would say so. The first turn's very, very sharp, and then the second turn looks like Belmont Park. I was talking about it with Larry long before we came down here, and then yesterday he says, I see what you mean about this course. That turn is very wide, goes right in front of the old Garrison, hence the name of the racetrack, Garrison Savannah. They started racing here in the 1700s, and the British soldiers started racing here. So it's a long history at the Garrison Savannah.
We are positioned at on our usual perch here, the same place we've been in the past couple of years. We are at the top of the grandstand, looking straight ahead to the paddock, and the finish line is directly below us, some 20, 25 yards or so. So it's a great broadcast position. If you can picture this, we'll paint the picture since you can't see it. The grandstand here at Garrison Savannah is reminiscent of something you might find at a county fair back in the United States. There are 10 rows of seats. It takes you about 35 steps to go from the bottom to the top where we are positioned. To our left is the area that is past the finish line, and there's a small section of grandstand there, which, Jude, it kind of reminds me of when we go to Pimlico, and you have that little section of grandstand that's the older section that dates back to the Seabiscuit War Admiral days. That's what that little piece of grandstand reminds me of past the finish line.
Yeah, it's an interesting little spot. It's a nice location. The first two rows in that belong to lifetime members of the Barbados Turf Club, so it's kind of an honorable position, and there's probably about six rows of seats in there, and very nice. Above that is the members' restaurant, and it's all air conditioned. Nice place to hang out. There's some cool private boxes too on the first turn that are owned by a lot of the prominent owners and trainers here. And Coolmore has a box, and Sir David Seal, president of the Barbados Turf Club, has a box. So.
Some similarities to the Kentucky Derby, too, at Garrison Savannah, because they will open up the infield, and you'll have people in the infield. And, Larry, right now we're looking out toward that infield, and we see pop-up canopies, a lot like you would see at a college football tailgate party. Kind of reminiscent of what we see at Churchill, not on the same scale, but kind of along the same lines.
Well, it's got that big event feel, you know, and that's exactly what it is. It's the racing event of Barbados, and it's the racing event pretty much of the entire Caribbean.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and horses do come from all over. We don't have a lot of international participation this year, but I think that's partly due to the fact that Mr. Ramsey brought two outstanding horses.
They're good.
This is maybe the two best horses to ever compete together in a Gold Cup here at Garrison Savannah, but the individually, they might be the best horses ever to run here.
Ken Ramsey will send out Shining Copper, Grade 2 winner, and he'll have Sir Dudley Diggs, a winner of the Queen's Plate in Canada a couple of years ago. We were there. We broadcast that race for you. He looked great that day. If he runs back to that effort, he'll take some beating in the Gold Cup later this afternoon. But, Jude, I mentioned the paddock area straight across from us. There is a statue of a horse on the far side of the paddock. That is Blast of Storm. He is the only horse ever to win the Barbados Gold Cup three consecutive years. That is exactly what Dorset is going to try to accomplish later today when he takes on the two Ramseys and everybody else.
Yeah, well, that's quite an accomplishment. And since trainer Robert Pierce is married to the director of racing here, I think there might be a statue of Dorset in our future if he pulls it off today. But he's got his work cut out for him. I mean, he's running against two tough nuts, but stranger things have happened. That statue of Blast of Storm a horse that was owned by Sally Arbib. Just a magnificent animal. He won it 3 years in a row. Sir David Seal had a horse by the name of Sanford Prince who won the race three times, but not in consecutive years.
I had the chance to visit with Robert Pierce yesterday afternoon. You're going to hear that interview coming up in just a little bit after our first commercial break. He talked about trying to pull off this feat for a third consecutive year, and he talked about potentially having a statue out there if he could do it. So stay tuned for that interview coming up in just a little bit. The other day, we had a chance to stop by Ken Ramsey's hotel here in Barbados, and he is here with his grandson, Nolan. He is here with top apprentice jockey, Katie Clausen, who is now going to be retired. She's going to work with Mike Maker and that Ramsey team going forward. But we talked with all three of them in their hotel room the other day, and Larry, what a great visit that was.
It was, and what a great room and view he had of the Caribbean. I was a little bit jealous when we looked out there and took a couple of photos with Ken, but it was great to just sit down. And I'll tell you what, I had never met Nolan before, and I left really impressed.
Sharp kid.
He's really sharp. He's got a tremendous personality. I like to use the term, he gets it. He absolutely gets it, and I think that you're looking at a kid with a really, really bright future there, and you could tell how excited Ken was to be here. It's like home away from home for him. He's a legend. He's got his photo when you arrive at the airport of his silks, and he's very proud of that. He's taking pictures of it, and of course there's cameras all over signs that say don't take pictures.
Yeah.
But he's taking pictures of his silks. And
showing them off afterwards.
Nobody's stopping him for sure because he's Ken Ramsey, and they love him here, and they should.
Well, Ken first came here in 2014. He won the race with Major Marvel. He came back the following year in 2015 with Sailor's Creek, then was beaten the last 2 years by Dorset. So he's going to try and turn the tables this year. And as we just told you, he has a pair of good ones going up against the two-time defending champion. Jose Ortiz is going to be with us right around 9 o'clock Eastern. By the way, you're going to hear that interview with Ken and with Nolan and with Katie at 8:30 Eastern time in its entirety. You won't want to miss it. It was a really enjoyable visit. Jockey Jose Ortiz will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern. He's going to talk about Good Magic, who goes to the post in the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream today. That's right. There is other racing outside of Barbados, and we're going to cover it all for you later this afternoon on the network, beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern, when we bring you coverage of the Barbados Gold Cup and the Fountain of Youth from Gulfstream Park. Just 63 days, 9 hours, 21 minutes, and 40 seconds away from the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May.
Oh, boy. I better start studying.
Yeah, you better polish up. You spent about as much time studying the Spa Sprint today as you do for a Kentucky Derby.
Almost.
Almost. You were making your silks and...
I don't want to mess it up, man. Got to get it right.
Yeah. All right, so Jose with us at 9 o'clock Eastern, 9:25 Eastern. We'll be joined by Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. It's a very busy morning here on the Equine Forum. We are live at Garrison Savannah in Barbados. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Make plans now to attend the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans, featuring discussions on the sport's hottest topics, including sports betting, inadvertent exposure to medications, and thoroughbred aftercare. You'll hear from guest speakers like Greg Benzel, Joe Asher, Ted Schultz, and Dr. Scott Stanley and Emily Woods. And prominent owner breeder Clay Witham will be on hand to deliver the keynote address. It's the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Tulare and Barbados, you have to be very tactical, you know. It's not a normal two-turn track that you have in any other part of the world. Tulare and Barbados, you have to be tactical. You have to always break sharp. You have to get your perfect break. Depends on which position you want to be in. If you want to be in front, you break sharp. Even if you don't want to be in front, and you want to, if you have a stalking horse, you know, the only thing you can't do, you can't miss the break in Barbados. And then when you get that break that you need, you have to position your horse and have to save all the running you can, you know. I mean, sometimes you can get put in a pocket and stuff. And other than that, it's being tactical, you know, like, when you go like from the half mile, when you go up the incline, there's a hill on the half mile. So you have to be smart about that also. You can't just overuse your horse. You know, you have to save every inch of your horse that you can. The turn for home is awesome, but I mean, your horse can easily get pushed wide, you know, and that's something you don't want. Then you have camber bitters and you're wearing camber bitters. You never want to get pushed wide because there's always someone to come sneak up the rear.
That's Barbados native Jalon Samuel, who guided Dorset to victory in this race each of the last 2 years. He has won the Gold Cup on three different occasions, but he will not be riding the two-time defending champion later this afternoon. He instead will ride for North America's top owner, Ken Ramsey. He will be aboard Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And yesterday I had the chance to talk to trainer Robert Pierce, who will saddle Dorset, and he talked about that move by Jalon going over to the Ramsey horse. And he talked about the new rider for Dorset. He also touched on a few other topics. Here's that interview from yesterday with trainer Robert Pierce.
Robert, you and I stood here, this very same spot in the offices 1 year ago, right before the Gold Cup, and it turned out to be pretty good luck because you won it the second consecutive year with Dorset, trying to win it three times in a row coming up on Saturday. What do you think? Three times in a row. Put that into perspective.
You know, he's really doing well. To be honest, I'm really pleased with him. I think he's fitness-wise and soundness-wise, I actually think he's better than last year. But, I mean, he got some good horses to run at this year. Shining Copper and Sir Dudley Diggs, I mean, between the two of them, have done exceptionally well. We got some rain today, which will suit Dorset. How would it suit the others? I don't know. The local breeds, the local horses in the race are just a fashion, just won the state a few weeks back. And the horses are doing really well here too. So it's going to be a really good race, although it's only 8 horses. And I got a really good rider over from England. So I'm just hoping that, you know, it can happen again.
Why does he seem to take his game to another level when he comes here to Garrison Savannah?
Well, because when like the normal races that tend to go really slow and sprint home, and he and he is he comes from way out of it. So he needs a good pace to run at. And these bigger races tend to get a more honest pace, and so he has always get speed to run at in the Gold Cup. So it looks like tomorrow he will get speed to run at with Shining Copper and stuff, is whether he will stop. You know what I mean? So that suits his game, you know. It suits every so that really helps him a lot. So he just he just loves Barbados.
You mentioned your new rider coming from England. Jalon Samuel has ridden him in each of the last 2 years in the Gold Cup. Both have been successful, but he ends up riding against you on Saturday afternoon. Tell me about your new rider.
I brought Daryl Holland. He's very successful over the years in England, all over the world, and he has ridden here many times, has won quite a few races here. And he's a very strong rider. Dorset needs a strong rider, and I was lucky to get his services. And he got on him a couple mornings back and was very, very pleased with him. You know, he was super excited. So I mean, Jalon has ridden for us, and it's, you know, I would have loved to use Jalon again. But any young rider in the Caribbean would love to ride for the number one owner in North America. It's a brilliant opportunity. If he does well, anything, many doors can open for him. So he will never be upset with Jalon for going to ride for Mr. Ramsey. Heck, I would love to train for Mr. Ramsey one day. You know, so that's how it goes. So I mean, I'm sure Dorset will run his heart out for Daryl as well.
And of course, Jalon going to be aboard Sir Dudley Digg's, the Queen's Plate winner, one of two horses going to the post for owner Ken Ramsey, and that's a tall order. But Dorset has overcome all of that the past 2 years, and you look at the two Ramsey horses and you have to think, gosh, Ken, you're tired of finishing second when you bring horses down here like that. Those are pretty good horses.
Yeah, no, I mean, I put a post on Facebook only a couple of days ago that they had to go deep in their pockets this year to come and try and beat Dorset, you know. So that in itself is an accomplishment, you know, because they realize that to come and beat me, they had to bring good horses. So they did this year, so I'll just have to prove to them how good I am.
Blast of Storm and Sanford Prince, the only horses to win the Gold Cup three times. Blast of Storm, the only horse to do it three consecutive years. He has a statue here by the paddock at Garrison Savannah. And if you win it for a third consecutive year, you think you'll have a statue with Dorset?
I hope so. No, it would be definitely an honor, I mean, to win it three times in a row. I mean, Dorset has been nothing but great. He loves the big day. He loves the crowd. He loves to pose. He loves to perform on the big days. And for him, I would love to win it as well. You know, because he's been through so much, and he's such a genuine horse that, you know, I'm just really looking forward to tomorrow.
There are people listening that maybe have never heard of Blast of Storm. Put that in perspective. To win three consecutive runnings of the Gold Cup, but how difficult is that?
Well, it's extremely difficult. One, because to run three consecutive years completely sound on this tight track is a remarkable thing, because Barbados track is a very tight track, and you know, as you get older, the injuries tend to, the arthritis and stuff tends to show up because of it takes a toll on the horses, you know. So two, as you said, you know, every year different horses come in from all over the world, younger horses. And to do it three times in a row, anywhere in the world, win any race, I mean, Breeders' Cup, anything, to win three in a row is a phenomenal feat.
You said Dorset might be doing even better than last year. You said he likes to play to the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
How about you, Robert? How are you going to hold up on Saturday afternoon looking for three in a row?
Generally, I tend to be pretty calm. I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but I tend to get, like, I've done it a lot of times, so I tend to be, you know, accustomed to it. And I tend to get more nervous and stuff when there's, like, maybe issues with the horse and stuff like that. And I get a little worried, you know, something. But when my horse is like how he is, you know, he's ready, he's sung, everything is right, you know, I tend to be a lot more relaxed, you know. So I'm just hoping that everything goes well.
Yeah, like you said, you've been here and you've done that. It's not just about Dorset. You've won the Gold Cup four times. Do you have a favorite Gold Cup memory?
The first time we won in 2006, it was very special to me because Patrick Husbands is like my brother, and John L. Jones is also like my brother, and both I ran first and second, and they were, Patrick was riding the winner and John O. was riding the second place horse, so that really meant a lot to me. But it's always special to win a Gold Cup, you know what I mean? Dorset was extra special as well, because, you know, we were looking for him for months and then had to fly up there at the last minute, check it out, get him here. And it was never done before, you know what I mean? And we got it, me and Safi Joseph helped me out tremendously. And we got it done, you know what I mean? And then to come back, and, you know, at that time, to win it the first time, and everybody was like, oh, he has the training he got in the States, you know, that we won. But then I came back and won again. So they couldn't say that the second time, you know what I mean? So they're all special. Daylight Express, you know, that was special, because after that we went to Canada with him and won some nice races up there. So they're all special.
Good luck on Saturday afternoon.
Thank you very much.
That's trainer Robert Pearson, again, looking for three in a row with Dorset this afternoon. And, guys, a couple of neat things coming out of that interview. Number one, he talked about facing the two Ken Ramsey horses. Jude, you said earlier they might be two of the best horses, if not the best horses ever to compete in Barbados, or certainly among them. And he said Ken had to go deep in his pockets to try to beat us this year, bringing that caliber of horse. And he said that in itself is an accomplishment.
Yeah, well, you know, Barbados trainers and owners, they have a lot of pride. They love their racing here. And it's not a situation where you can make a lot of money. The purses are not commensurate with what it costs to train a horse here. And pride is a big thing. And to win these races is super important. To win this race especially. This is like the Kentucky Derby, the Sandita Handicap, the Breeders' Cup Classic all rolled into one for them. I mean, this is the race. And there's nothing that comes close to it. So, you know, it's such a big deal for the locals, and you see it even the fans, they all come out today. I mean, if you're not working, you're here. Every cab driver that we've talked to, every person working in the store, I'm so sorry, I have to work, I can't go to the Gold Cup, you know. And it's a big deal, and I feel sorry for those people that don't get to come out, because this is the sporting event of the year here. Unless England's playing cricket at Kensington Oval against the Windies, this is the pinnacle of the sports year right here.
Larry, you and I talked about that this morning when we were standing out watching some people circulate down below where we're staying. And it does seem like there's a buzz wherever you go.
Yeah, there was all kinds of people right outside of where we were staying on the street, and they were all chatting away. And you didn't see those people the other days that we were here. It's almost like it's, you know, building and building, and they'll be in an hour or two starting to get their way into here, and this place will be rocking and rolling pretty soon. And it's going to be a spectacle for sure. And, you know, Robert Pearce was just talking about how, you know, the American horses have to step it up. And Ken Ramsey kind of told us the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, hey, we didn't bring enough bullets last time. We got to bring bigger bullets. And looks like he did. So we'll find out what happens.
Yeah, we will later on this afternoon in that Barbados Gold Cup. Our coverage begins 3 o'clock Eastern time. It is all presented by Red Brand Fence. In a programming note, that coverage of the Gold Cup and the Fountain of Youth Stakes, Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason will be positioned at Gulfstream to bring you that coverage. All of that is going to air on Sirius XM Channel 83. Sirius XM 83 is your home for the Gold Cup Fountain of Youth broadcast beginning 3 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, you can always listen worldwide on our website, streaming all over the world at horseracingradio.net. Larry mentioned Ken Ramsey. You're going to hear from him coming up in our next segment. We sat down with Ken, his grandson Nolan, and Katie Clausen, the fiance of Nolan. You're going to hear that interview with the three of them coming up in our next segment right after our next commercial break. Typically, this is where we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but because of this very busy program covering not only the Gold Cup, but we're going to talk Fountain of Youth Stakes in the second half of the show, we'll bypass the Lexus Legends of the Turf story this morning. We will have a word, though, from the Lexus store of Lexington, and then we'll come back and you'll hear from Ken Ramsey, from Nolan Ramsey, and from Katie Clausen. Stay with us.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family. at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy John's for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
Well, she heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and...
Did you tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did you tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy John's is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy John's.
Dibs on January.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
There are no more turns in the Gold Cup, and it's Major Marvel on the left-hand drive. On the outside, here's Nori. Should have ventured, so to falter. But you can sing this field a lullaby. They'll be put to bed. Major Marvel has won the 2014 Gold Cup. It's time to follow for long to come. And it's Sailor's Creek and Knight Rider running at him. Sailor's Creek and Knight Rider. Sailor's Creek and Knight Rider. Sailor's Creek and Knight Rider. They're running on the rest of the world. Sailor's Creek, my life.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and NBC and NYRA announcer Larry Colmus sitting in with us. We are live from Barbados, Garrison, Savannah, getting you ready for that Barbados Gold Cup later this afternoon. And, Ken Ramsey pulling it off. The first 2 years he came to this island paradise. He won it with Major Marvel, came back the following year with Sailor's Creek, and Dean Springer, the race caller here at Anna, had that call coming out of the commercial break. Gary and others.
That's it, I'm out of here.
Larry, Gary Colmus with us.
Gary Coleman. Yeah.
You had a chance to spend some time with Dean. He was excited to see you, very welcoming and a great guy.
Absolutely. Him and Lyndon, the other race caller here, and we were hanging out last night at the Scurries, and we were also at the Ramsey party with Dean hanging out, and he's got plenty of good stories, and he's had a chance to call some great Gold Cups, so it'll be good to go up to the booth with those guys and call that spa sprint and have some fun.
Well, we told you we had the chance to visit with Ken and with his grandson Nolan and Nolan's fiance Katie Clausen, who last year was up for apprentice jockey, Eclipse Award apprentice jockey. So here's that interview for you. We stopped by the hotel room and spent some time with those three, and here you go. Ken, let's start with a little bit of a recap. You're here 4 years ago with Major Marvel. You win your first Barbados Gold Cup. You come back with Sailor's Creek the following year. And then the last 2 years, you come up a little bit short. You get beat by a horse named Dorset, who you're going to have to contend with again this year.
when you look at the horses you're bringing down for this year's Gold Cup, it's pretty obvious you're sick of finishing second.
Well, we've never finished any worse. I've been down here four times, got two wins, two seconds, and the other two horses run 1 year second and third, and the other year second and fourth. So I guess if you made a place parlay on us, you'd be cashing all the way through. But we had to bring a little heavier ammunition down. I underestimated Dorset the very first year. Dorset, I guess the way you pronounce it. Anyway, we beat him in a 40,000-hour claiming race at Gulfstream the first year he came down here. And I didn't think my kitten's joy that beat him that day was good enough to come. So I said, well, you know, I don't have to worry about him because Miss Other Kitten's Joy could beat him very easily, so he's probably okay. But anyway, I underestimated him. And then last year we've come down, and last year we was almost the best. That's the longest inquiry I've ever suffered. What was it, 15 or 20 minutes?
It was a long inquiry.
It was. It was, no kidding, 15 or 20 minutes. I sat out there with Bill Finley, and Bill Finley said, he's coming down, you're going up. And, of course, we didn't go up. And Bill Finley said to me after, said, well, what are you going to say? And I said, what is it to say? I'll put a smile on my face and go congratulate the winner. You know?
Yeah.
Anything you say, sour grapes, okay? Bill said, well, he would have come down the States. I said, yes, but we're not in the States. Anyway, we got beat, and the next morning, the guy brought the horse out here and swam him. They swam here in the ocean right here in front of caught the sea down here instead of the ocean. And I watch him on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So I was down there, and I actually got a board way out in the water out there. He said, would you like to get on a horse that beat you? So I put my leg across him, and he had a picture. So I'd ridden that Dorset myself, even if he was dog paddling in the water.
How did anyway, he feel under you? Is he ready to go for this year or what? Can you beat him?
No, I think he was exhausted last year. He was very sluggish in the water last year. I think we're going to handle him this time. We got two good horses. I mean, both of these are graded stake winners. I'd venture to say that in my opinion, of course, I guess I'm a little bit prejudiced, but I think Shining Copper may be the best caliber horse that's run down here in a long time, maybe the best. You know, he picked up a grade two the last time and then a grade three before that, and probably been a grade one winner if we had ridden him to win. Might have won the Arlington Million. I mean, but he was a rabbit, you know, for Big Blue Kitten, which served his purpose. Big Blue Kitten, he helped him win a couple races, and I got a nice price out of Big Blue Kitten when I sold him to Calumet. So the big picture, it worked out.
How about the other horse, Sir Dudley Diggs? We were there when he won the Queen's Plate in Canada.
Yes, that's right. She was up there. Sir Dudley Diggs would probably be the crowd favorite down here just because of the relationship between Canada and Barbados. You know, they're both Commonwealth of Nations, and they're very close. The jockeys go up there and ride. Patrick Cusman's the leading jockey up there many times. So he'd be the crowd favorite, sentimental favorite. And I would actually, if I had a choice between the two, I'd prefer the Queen's Plate winner win it also, just because he won the Queen's Plate, not because the other horse I think is a little higher caliber horse than he is, with the speed he's got. I think Sir Dudley Diggs is going to put in a good run. He's very consistent, does the same thing every time. He'll be coming down the stretch.
Ken, you've won races all over the world. You've won big races in the United States. You do it on a continuous basis. Why is this race so important to you?
Well, I wanted to come down here to start with, because no American ever won it. And I like going where they haven't trodden before, you know. So anyway, I decided to come down, and we won. And I thought, I didn't bring that caliber horse down, so I thought, well, the pickings are fairly easy down there. Get a little expensive getting down here and all that, but it was well worth it, and I enjoyed myself. The climate's great. The people treat you. Can't be any better than that. So I came down, went it the second year, so now it's kind of become an annual trek. So I expect I'll be down here next year with something. Even if I lose this year, I enjoy coming back. So it's a nice place to vacation. We're sitting here in a room now. You saw the view. It's like a postcard out there, beautiful beach. And it's in the 80s every day. So it's a nice place to come and relax and catch your breath, you know.
You didn't come alone either. Tell me about the rest of the team. Who else do we have here with you?
Well, I have Nolan, who has decided he wants to become a horse trainer. That's his career choice. We've talked about it since he's been down here. And he's working on his Bachelor of Science degree in horse racing right now. So he's got a little ways to go yet before he gets out on his own. He's got to get his master's degree, and I don't know what course or college he's going to go to get his master's. Then he said he wanted to be a doctorate. He wanted to get a doctor in horse racing, so he's got to get his doctorate degree someplace. But for the immediate future, I think he was going to go on, him and Katie are getting married April the 16th up at in Kentucky. And, of course, who she is. She's runner-up for the Eclipse Award for Apprentice Jockey this past year. So got horse racing on both sides. So who knows, we may produce some future horse race enthusiasts besides them.
Well, let's turn our attention to these two, the soon-to-be newlyweds, and that's, of course, your grandson, Nolan, and Katie Clausen, last year's nominee for Apprentice Jockey. Nolan, let's start with you, my friend. Talk about being here with your grandfather and going down this road. Pretty cool.
No, it's fun. I got to travel all over the United States, Canada, England, Dubai, several different places with horses and my grandfather. But down here, it's kind of special. Usually not too many people get to make it down here. This year, it's just my grandfather, I, and my fiance. So it's fun. Just the three of us come down here, spend some time together, get to work with the horses. So it makes it a lot more fun when you can do it with family.
We were talking before we did the interview, and your first trip to Barbados was the first year that your grandfather didn't win the Gold Cup. Yeah. Our first trip for a broadcast was the first year that your grandfather didn't win the Gold Cup. So if we lose this year, my friend, we're going to be banned from Barbados.
Oh, I agree. 2 years and both times run second, so not a good track record so far.
No, not at all. Tell me about some of your earliest memories of being around your grandfather. Of course, he owns Ramsey Farm. He's bred countless big winners. He's campaigned countless big winners. Tell me about some of those early memories.
It's funny. We were just talking about it this morning, talking about how to handicap and how to read the racing form. And we were talking, I think at the age of 7, he taught me how to read the racing form. And I remember at Churchill Downs in the turf club, the $50 window was on the far right. There's a man there named Richard who worked the $50 window. And on to the right of the window, there was like a little countertop. It sat down lower than the window. There was no teller there. It was just a countertop. And after he taught me how to read the form and how to pick winners, I'd go up there and I'd run his bets. Now, if I'd go up to the $50 window, if I'd go to Richard, if I went to the counter to his right, there was no teller, he'd come over there like he's talking to me, but he'd keep his hand up on the machine, and he'd take my bets. I couldn't have been 9 or 10 years old, and I was betting the horses at Churchill, so that's had that. And I guess the earliest memory I could remember, we went to Canada to Woodbine together and watched a horse named Nolan's Cat run second to a horse you've all heard of named Funnyside. So that was pretty cool to go up there. I think that was my first time going international with my grandfather. But we've been some pretty cool places together. Been to Dubai to see the World Cup. It didn't run any good, but definitely one of my better memories. We've been to England and Barbados, so it's fun, especially when you get to do it with family.
Yeah, we talk to a lot of father-son duos in this business, but not often that we get a chance to talk to a grandfather and his grandson who get to go down the road together. That has to be special.
Oh, for sure. It's funny. My dad, don't get me wrong, but he wouldn't walk across the street to see the Kentucky Derby. So I don't really get that bonding time with him at the track. Here in the last few years since I've started working with Mike Maker, I've had some really nice horses running some big races, so my parents have kind of turned some attention to the racing to follow me, which has been nice, but we've definitely spent a lot of time, my grandfather and I, at the track together since I was old enough to understand what was going on. I mean, me and him, we've been a lot of places together.
Any more pressure when you're training for your grandfather or for any family member?
It's funny. Working with Mike, he's got a lot of horses that meet the same conditions, being long-distance turf horses. We've got several Kitten's Joys for my grandfather, but we also have several nice horses for other owners. So it's always fun when I get to run against them with one of my own, whether it be Bigger Picture and Oscar nominated, or for instance, last year, Houston, for the John Conley Stakes, I took three horses myself, loaded them up in the truck, and drove from Miami to Houston. Being Oscar nominated and partly Mocha for him, and then another horse named Bigger Picture. So we ran together in the Conley, and Bigger Picture actually ended up winning the race, and Oscar nominated run second. So I kind of got to rub it in his face a little bit. But it definitely makes it more fun when I get to win for him. Probably one of my better memories was with Sir Dudley Diggs, actually, when he won the Queen's Plate. Because I got to go up there. I took the horse up myself. We spent almost 2 weeks there just trying to get him acclimated to the track and paddock schooling and training him. And Mike kind of left me up there to do as I pleased. So I really kind of got to bird dog it, do it all myself, and then to get to see the victory the way he ran. And just I couldn't ask for anything better.
Your grandfather said that you've made the decision now that this is going to be your chosen profession. You want to be a horse trainer. How come?
Actually, Mike had offered me a job. I think I must have been 15, because he offered me a job walking Hots for him at Saratoga, and I remember I was too young, I couldn't get a license on the track. So he told me, if anybody asks, I'm his son. I said, okay, no problem. So I started working for him when I was 15. I was walking Hots. Eventually I became a foreman for a while, and then I kind of got to travel around. I went to all sorts of tracks. I do a lot of vanning for Mike too, so you know he'll send me, whether it be Houston or, I mean, wherever. I've been all sorts of places: Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, New York, Maryland. I mean, you name it, I've been there. But it's been really nice. I got to work with him kind of as a foreman, not quite an assistant yet, but traveling around running horses for him. And now I've been his assistant trainer for a little over 2.5 years. And I've got the opportunity to work with some really nice horses, from Bigger Picture to the Big Hoss, and then some of the nice horses for my grandfather as well, Shining Copper, Oscar nominated, Al's Gal. So it's been nice to work with those horses, but I just enjoy getting out there and working with them hands-on. I actually started working for my grandfather on the farm when I was, man, I must have been 10, just, I mean, barely big enough to handle a horse, and I was working with the broodmares and the foals. So really, since I've been into horses, I've been really hands-on with them, and I kind of got the bug working for Mike in Saratoga when I first started. I just like the fast pace of it, and really enjoy the claiming game too, which is something both Mike and my grandfather are big into. So that's kind of where my passion lays. So between my grandfather and Mike, they really brought it out in me.
We're going to come back to Katie here in just a minute and visit with her, but I do want to get another word from your grandfather here for a second. Ken, we listen to Nolan talk, and we hear him talk about this chosen profession. We hear him talk about going down this road with you. You've watched him develop from a very young man now to the man that he is today. What are you most proud of when you look at him?
He's his own man. In other words, he doesn't want any privileges or anything because his last name happens to be Ramsey, and then I've been a little successful in the industry. He doesn't want that at all. He just assumed his name be Joe Absquash as Nolan Ramsey wants to do it on his own. So right now, for example, he wants to do a little tour, kind of a worldly tour. So if Sir Dudley Diggs wins down here, he'll probably be going back to Canada. And we're taking a string up there at Woodbine, so he's getting a little foreign experience going to be up at Woodbine this summer. And then if Shining Copper wins, he wants to take him, of all places, to Hong Kong next. And then if he wins in Hong Kong, he's going to consider taking him to Royal Ascot to try to win the Queen Anne Stakes. So he's going to, before he settles down and gets his master's degree, he wants to get a little, I guess you might say, studying abroad. So he's going to Canada, then hopefully England, and hopefully Hong Kong and a few other places. So you got to admire somebody that, in other words, he doesn't slack off because his name is Ramsey. So Nolan has done it all, and he wants to do it on his own as Nolan Ramsey, not as Ken Ramsey's grandson.
Well, somebody else who is going to have the name Ramsey pretty soon is Katie Clausen, apprentice jockey and Eclipse champion, or Eclipse nominee apprentice jockey. Katie, talking about that Ramsey name, what are you most excited about being a Ramsey?
Oh, wow. What a question. Really, I'm excited about it all. I mean, I get great time, whether it's Nolan and I working together for Mike Maker, or if we're back home in Kentucky and we get to stop by the farm for a day or two and just visit Kitten's Joy out in Hillendale, or when he was back at the farm at Ramsey Farm. I'm just excited about life going forward, really. But there's a lot of great things that we all can do together, and it's great that it's a family business, and that there's a lot of interest in it, just with all of our friends and family back home, and it's really, it's something that if I tried to plan it out, I couldn't have picked a better people to be with, even if I had tried. You know, it's something that I've wanted for myself for a long time, since I was just barely a teenager. I know this is what I wanted to do, and I'm just really blessed that I get to be with a great family, that it's all together, and it's a big outing. You know, when we do go to the races, or we do, you know, we're back at the farm, or we're just having lunch together, you know, we're always talking about horses, and it's great because, you know, my family back at home on my end, you know, we've always been around animals and horses themselves, but it's not a horse racing family. I'm kind of the first one, so which is, you know, nice in and of itself, because I get to share it with other people. But when it's, you know, all of us, we're talking about graded stakes horses that we're training every day, you know, that's a different story. So I'm really blessed to be in and with such a great family, and to be a part of it all myself.
Yeah, it's a family affair, and it's a team effort, too.
Definitely.
You're here in Barbados.
Yes.
You're trying to win the Gold Cup coming up on Saturday. Tell me about your role with the team.
My role is to keep everybody happy on track, I guess, and to make sure it goes well. Exercise riding all these three horses while we're here. It's been very smooth, thankfully. Everyone is training really well. They're all happy. They're feeling good about themselves. Shining Copper, as we've talked about in the past with other people, he can be a little bit of a quirky handful of a horse, but since we've been here, he and I, we've gotten along well, and we've had very few hiccups, if any. You know, he's breezed since he's been here. He gets over the surface great. He's liking the weather. His coat looks wonderful. He's happy. He's ready. It's just a matter of opening the gates and him running his race. Sir Dudley Diggs, he's been the same way. He's been very full of himself since he's been here. Training super. Everything's going well with him as well. And Kitten's Cat, he's another one that's doing great. I hope he runs his best race on Saturday too. I think he's set up to run a good race with his post position and all the factors that go into that short race that it is. So everyone's great. Everyone's happy.
You mentioned getting along well with Shining Copper and how he can be a little quirky. Mm-hmm. Put me in the saddle with you. Is there something you need to do when you're on him to make sure that he does behave?
A little bit of the opposite, actually. It's what you don't do. you don't mess with him. He's the boss. I was telling Nolan the first few days, you know, we just have a mutual respect going on for one another, Copper and I. I don't mess with him. He goes around and does his thing. All you got to do is make sure you can get him pulled up and you're okay. if he stops, and then everything is fine. So yeah, he's a very, very cool horse. He's probably the smartest that I've been around, period. And he's beautiful, and he's doing well. So I'm really happy to be with him.
I mentioned the sensational year that you had in 2017. It led to an Eclipse Award nomination as an apprentice jockey, mm-hmm. leading apprentice jockey. Take me through that year a little bit.
It was a crazy year. That was another thing that I couldn't have planned any better, or maybe worse in a way, because I ended up getting hurt. But you know, it was a great year. I had so much fun. I got to accomplish a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish. Back to the Ramseys, they took me to Belmont and Saratoga to ride for them. And those were experiences I wouldn't have gotten without them, period. Won some races for them as well back in Indiana. And Churchill and Keeneland, and so I rode for them quite a bit, and I got to ride some nice horses. We were actually just looking over my stats yesterday, talking about some cool rides and horses and experiences that I got to go through. But it was a fun year. There were ups and downs, and the whole thing was just a learning curve, and I just got to be with some really, really good people that showed me the right way to go along, and then helped me a lot. So it's I couldn't have made it through the way I did without the help that was given to me. So it was a very fun year.
What's it like to see your name on the list of finalists for an Eclipse Award?
Ugh, it was crazy. That was the goal that I had set for myself when Tyler Gaffney won the Apprentice Award. That was when I watched that on TV. I remember I was sitting there with some of my friends that I was working with at the time back in Oaklawn, and I said, that's what I want. And I got as close as I could have gotten with what I was given. So it was, I was in with some great company, for the Eclipse Award that year. So it was a great experience. And I was proud of all the horses that I rode and all the people that helped me. And I was very thankful for the help that I was given to get there.
Where would a victory in the Gold Cup for the Ramsey team rank among your accomplishments if you guys can pull it off on Saturday?
Oh, that would be great, you know, because it's just another race that we've won together, but it's just in a different perspective. It's just from a different part of the team. And I really enjoy galloping. So it would be one of the top ones for sure, because it's a long trek. You know, it's the ship down here and a couple of weeks riding and everything. It's not just, you know, your one trip around the track trying to do a good job. It's every day and showing up. And so that would be a top one for sure.
Yeah, good luck.
That's Katie Clausen, that's Nolan Ramsey and Ken Ramsey, and our thanks to them for making a little time for us the other day at Ken's hotel. Boy, what a visit, huh, JT? I know I handled the questions and all that kind of stuff, but you guys were sitting in the room with me. Your take on that interview?
Well, I think it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of insight into what goes on behind the scenes with the Ramseys. It is a family business. Everybody's involved. Kent loves to have his family around him and with him. And I think Nolan and him have a special bond. They have for a long time. And it's great to see Nolan, you know, thinking about going out on his own, doing his own thing. He's a bright young guy, and he has a fantastic future. And I mentioned to him how great it's going to be for him to have a wife that understands the game and realizes that the reason you're not mowing the lawn on Saturday afternoon and taking the kids to the park is because you're out there working your butt off. So that's important in thoroughbred racing, and it's great to have a partner that understands the game.
Yeah, we had Ken. He actually talked about that in the interview, Larry, where when I asked him what he was most proud of about Nolan and everything that he's accomplished to this point, he said he's his own man. He isn't relying on that Ramsey name to get him anywhere in this business. He's doing it all on his own, and he's very proud of that.
Well, that's really important, and you can get a feel for that as soon as you meet him. You know, that was the first thing I picked up on in sitting in that hotel room and just meeting Nolan. I had never had the opportunity, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, you know, this guy's sharp. And he's just got a great personality, too, and which is important if you're going to be a horse trainer to try to get some owners, you know, to have that personality to go with the work ethic and the knowledge about the racing industry. And you could tell that he and Katie are true racetrackers because they're going to get married on a Monday.
That's right. Dark day.
Dark day. Yeah, they probably have their kids on a Monday, too. I know that story. But, the interesting thing, Nolan was out here this morning with his two riders for this afternoon and walking the course and discussing – you know, where they wanted to be and that type of thing. And as far as I could see, we were here relatively early, but there were only two trainers that did that, and Nolan was one of them. So, you know, take every edge and try to understand where you are and what you need to do.
The other thing that I noticed before they started walking, it was, you know, Jalon, Raphael, and Nolan, and they were looking at Jalon's cell phone for quite a long time there, and my guess is that it may have been replays of Barbados races because it looked like something that they were really intrigued by. Maybe it was some sort of funny thing, but probably not. It looked like it was serious, and he was pointing out different areas. And it's a unique place. It's not a standard oval, and a guy like Jalon and Raphael has ridden here before, but I'm sure he can give some local knowledge that would help the case.
Yeah, the flags of some 10 or 11 nations are flying high here at Garrison Savannah. They align the paddock area, which is directly in front of our broadcast position. The tents in the infield are filling up with those who are bringing different gifts for the gift shop to try to sell their wares here at Garrison Savannah. And, of course, you have the dining areas, or we'll call them concession stands, I guess, that are positioned in the infield, and all the folks are starting to set up there. And before too long, people will begin filing in, and we'll get ready for the Barbados Gold Cup, the 37th running, coming up later this afternoon. There is racing back in the United States, and a pretty big one at that. The Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes taking place at Gulfstream Park. We're going to get to a quick commercial break, then we'll come back and get you set for the second half of the program. A lot of Fountain of Youth talk, and we'll talk about the three-year-old picture. We're also going to hear from jockey Jose Ortiz right after the 9 o'clock hour, and Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, will join us for his weekly visit right around 9:25 Eastern. So a lot of things still to come. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. Varonge Rue and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway stallion Tapazara is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Yeah, I don't feel any added pressure. I mean, he's a highly regarded horse, and he's, like you said, he's a champion and one of the favorites for the Kentucky Derby. But, you know, you just have to approach it as, you know, you set a goal, and we have a schedule for the horse, and we're trying to get to the first Saturday in May, no matter what race that is. And it's my job to try to get him there to run the best race he can on that day. And we've, you know, put other high-profile horses before, and you have to, you know, you just got to keep an even keel because you're going to have some bumps in the road along the way, no matter what you're doing, managing these kind of horses. And so far there hasn't been many with him, but pressure, you know, not really. He's a good horse and just try to guide him in the right direction and stay out of his way.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penaju Feld and Larry Colmus, my beautiful wife Michelle. We are all positioned above the finish line at Garrison Savannah in Barbados. That was trainer Chad Brown talking about his Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champion, Good Magic, who goes to the post in his 3-year-old debut later this afternoon in South Florida in the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes. He is a heavy favorite, 7-5 on the morning line. He will be ridden by young jockey Jose Ortiz, who comes off of his Eclipse Award-winning season. We're going to be joined by Jose coming up in just a couple of minutes, right after we remind you that Shanghai Bobby, remember him? Yeah, he was pretty good, and he was represented by stakes performances from March Express and Shang Royal last weekend. And he seeks to continue his recent run of good form when the talented Gotta Go starts in this afternoon's strong renewal of that Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. A solid second in the Grade 3 Swale Stakes on his seasonal reappearance, Gotta Go was one of 3 2-year-old stakes winners from his champion juvenile sire's first crop last season. Shanghai Bobby is one of 10 Grade 1 winning juveniles standing at Coolmore America, so give the team at Ashford a call for unbeatable value. Well, Jose Ortiz is in the on-deck circle. We'll get to him next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collected alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front, 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back, Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, special guest co-host, that is Naira and NBC announcer Larry Colmus. He's sitting in with us, making this trip to the island paradise of Barbados, and Larry going to have an opportunity to call the race on the undercard later today, the Spa Sprint. That should be a lot of fun. Larry, you touched on it at the top of the show, your first clockwise race call. That should be interesting.
Yeah, I guess there's a first for everything. I've called a whole lot of counterclockwise races and a couple of races overseas. Called some at Wolverhampton in England, but that was sort of like calling it Suffolk Downs. It was a one-mile dirt oval, and they went the same way we do over here. So this will be a totally different thing, and like I said, the course has its quirks, and it should be fun.
Yeah, you've also called several career victories by young jockey Jose Ortiz. We are just 63 days, 8 hours, 28 minutes, and 23 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. And Jose, coming off an Eclipse Award-winning season, starts down that road with his juvenile champion, Good Magic, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile on November 4th at Del Mar. He returns today in the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. And Jose has a very busy day, so we appreciate him spending a few minutes with us here this morning. Jose, good morning, and looking forward to seeing Good Magic do his thing this afternoon.
Good morning. Yeah, very exciting day, and looking forward for Good Magic making a good race today.
You have been on so many good horses in your young career. You have a horse like this that's coming back, making his three-year-old debut. What's it like for you the morning of the race? Anxious, excited, nervous? What's it like?
Not really, none of them. I'm just relaxed, spending time with my daughter here, and soon I'll be going to the room. But it's a very normal day for me. I ride a lot of horses, a lot of stakes before the Fountain of Youth. So I just relax. I never get nervous.
You know, it was so cool. You were mic'd up for the Breeders' Cup, and your reaction as you were coming down the stretch, congratulating the horse, and I'm sure you've heard that many times. Of course, you said the words yourself, so you know what went on. But for the fans, for me especially, I've seen a lot of races in my life. I never heard that before from a jockey. Talk about experience a little bit and what it was like to ride a horse that maybe some people dismissed to such an impressive victory.
And we always like the horse, to be honest, and I was really excited after the wire because I knew if I wanted to win the Eclipse Award, I knew I had to win a Breeders' Cup, because I don't know, I think Mike had a great year and he won a lot of great ones, so I felt like if I win a Breeders' Cup, my chances are bigger. So that's why I was very excited about after the wire.
It must be a pretty exciting thing to win a Breeders' Cup race, was it a big surprise for you to win a Breeders' Cup race with a horse that had never won a race before?
Not really. We really like the horse, and Chad have a lot of faith on him, and I did also. He lost the champagne by half a length, and he run very and he run very greenly. He run very green that day, so I knew if he improved a little bit mentally, he could win the race, and he did. And Chad deserved a lot of credit and the owner because they took the chance and took a maiden horse to the Breeders' Cup all the way to California. And he came out with the victory, so they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Jose, what are you hoping to feel underneath you this afternoon? What do you want to see from Good Magic to let you know that he's back and he's moving forward?
Oh, I don't really know. I mean, just want to have a clean break and a good run to the first turn and get in good position. And hopefully win as easy as we can to save something for next time and moving forward to the Derby.
So tell me this, my friend. What's it like to hear your name called in front of all of your peers in the industry that you've just won the champion jockey at the Eclipse Awards?
It was very, very, very nice. It's a dream come true. I dream with it, and I work very hard for it, but, it's everything has to go your way. You got to stay healthy all year round and have luck to the luck of pick the good horses at the right time. And I think last year was a great year, and even I didn't row for a month because my knee, I think it was great. And I don't know, I rode so many good horses and they all performed very well. That day in when they call my name, I mean, I just want to cry, but, you know, I had to hold it together.
Well, you had a huge year, you know, your daughter was born and winning the Eclipse Award and the Breeders' Cup race and all of those things. I mean, that was a lifetime year for a lot of people, but you have a tremendously bright future, and you should have more of those in the future.
Hopefully. I want to keep working hard as far as I can, and hopefully we have another year like that.
Well, Jose, I know you have a busy afternoon and you have to get to the jocks room early, so I won't keep you, but really appreciate a few minutes here. All the best this afternoon and of course, throughout the rest of the year, and safe trip every time you get a leg up.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jose. Jose Ortiz here on HRRN. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Great kid. You know, he keeps talking about working hard and working hard. And look, you see people at the top of their professions or their top of their sport all the time. And I don't think people who aren't in the sport, I don't think they realize how hard those people work to get to the top. You know, nothing is given. You have to earn it. And Jose did that last year.
Yeah, well, you see him and his brother at Saratoga at the crack of dawn. They're some of the only jocks out there. You know, once in a while you'll see Johnny V and Javier Cassiano is a guy that likes to work in the morning. And those guys, take a look at that group, the Ortiz brothers and those two guys, and see where they are in the standings. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's
amazing. And that's the reason they are, is because they go out there, you know, even if they don't work a horse, they still can talk to trainers and find out what's going on, keep your finger on the pulse of the business. And then, you know, a guy like Jose that was riding night and day, he was riding every race he could possibly ride because he had that goal, and obviously a very goal-oriented young man.
And I've never seen him get into any sort of a slump at all or ride a race. Every once in a while, even the top guys, you're like, now what happened there? You know, what was that guy doing in that race? Why was he in that position? I can't remember having that thought about Jose Ortiz or his brother Irad. I mean, they're both just so consistent and so smart, and like we were saying about Nolan Ramsey, they get it. They are totally fan-friendly guys. When's the last time you saw one of those guys not smiling?
Yeah.
You know, they're always smiling. They light up wherever they go. People love them, and they should. They're so great for the game, and Jose's as good as it absolutely gets.
And talk about getting it. He didn't have the time for that interview this morning. He has an extremely busy day. And I gave him an out. I said, Jose, if you're too busy, we'll catch up down the road. He says, no, I will do it. He understands that being in his position, there's an obligation to the sport, and he tries to make time for as many people as he possibly can.
He's an absolutely fantastic guy, and just so neat to have guys like him and his brother at their age being that smart, that dedicated, and knowing what a fantastic future our sport has with those two guys leading the way down the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody else who's pretty good is trainer Todd Pletcher, and he gets it too, and he always makes himself accessible to the media. You hear from him quite often. Well, he's represented in the Fountain of Youth Stakes by Marconi, the three-year-old son of champion sire Tappet. Now, Marconi was third last time out in the Grade 3 Withers behind Avery Island. That was on February 3rd. He brings him southward for the Fountain of Youth this afternoon, and he has never raced shorter than a mile and an eighth, which is very unusual. All three career starts have come at a mile and an eighth, and yesterday Todd took the time with Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason on Express Bet Radio to talk about why Marconi just seemed from the beginning to look like a horse that wanted longer distances.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty straightforward. I mean, he's a Tappet, a half-brother to Mucho Macho Man. We always felt like he wanted a route of ground, but training him, we could see he wasn't real quick away from the gate. And the one thing that he always did was he galloped out strongly in his works. And we felt like, give him a chance to win first time out and run him a mile and an eighth. We know that's what he wants to do. And he actually, I thought he ran quite well. He was second to another Tappet colt we have named Biblical, who's in an allowance race on Sunday and we think has some quality. And he came back and won his second start. And I thought he ran, sneaky good race in the Withers. He still a little green, kind of shying away from Friends of Fire down the lane when he kept drifting out in front of him. But he stayed on and kept closing, and I think backing him up to a mile and a 16th with a good pace scenario is gonna hopefully bring him forward again.
Well, Todd could have kept Marconi in New York, but instead decided to bring him to South Florida for this afternoon's Fountain of Youth, and he went on to talk about making that decision with this talented colt.
Well, we wanted to bring him down here and get him on a more consistent, reliable training schedule to begin with. We're committed to staying in New York for the Withers and won a mile and an eighth. But as you know, it's been a tough winter and in terms of weather and reliable training schedule. So we felt like we didn't want to back him up to a mile in the Gotham. So we felt like coming down here and preparing him for his next start was the right move. And we put a couple breezes into him that went well. It wasn't really planning on the Fountain of Youth when we first came down here, but as I kind of took assessment of how the field was shaping up, it looks to me like it's a race that should have a pretty strong early pace, and I think that's what's going to help him more than anything. Is he doesn't have any real early speed. He's not quick away from the gate, but this will be the first opportunity he's had to hopefully run at a legitimate pace. And never know how races are going to unfold. They don't always unfold like they look on paper, but this race certainly looks like it should be an honest pace scenario.
All right, JT, as a former trainer, what are you taking away from those two sound bites from Todd Pletcher?
Well, I think he has a little bit more confidence in this horse than the average person does. I think he sees the horse every day and knows he's got some ability, and he's just trying his best to get it out. It's like the old quote from Michelangelo: the statue was in the rock all the time, I just let it out. And that's what Todd's saying about this horse, is the ability's there, and it's up to me to find it and let him show it.
And extremely unusual to see a horse start his career at a mile and an eighth, come back in the second start, be at a mile and an eighth, and then his third race be at a mile and an eighth. Never sprinted this horse.
No, that is something you don't see too often. Mike, do you know who Marconi was and what he invented?
No.
He invented the radio, Mike. You
wouldn't
Marconi be here without Marconi.
No kidding. Yeah. I did not know that.
That's the inventor of the radio,
the
Marconi.
The patron saint of broadcasters.
Yeah. Right.
I was hoping you wouldn't know.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. You would have been very disappointed if I just came out and said the radio.
Would have ruined my day.
Sorry about that, Gary.
What you talking about, Willis?
Well, Todd Pletcher, not the only one holding a pretty strong hand in the Fountain of Youth. You heard from Jose Ortiz. We've heard from Chad Brown. But Mark Hennig also has a talented horse by the name of Strike Power, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, his pedigree doesn't doesn't bother me at all. You know, and I but, you know, the way, obviously the way he won going 5.5 is always, you know, makes you think, well, is he going to be better sprinter or is he going to be better going long? You know, or is he going to be able to sustain it going long? He's, you know, to me, I've probably gained more confidence watching him train every day. And I can understand, you know, the people that think he won't get the two turns, but I probably got more confidence because I have the liberty of seeing him every day. And, you know, he may or may not, but he certainly acts like the kind of horse that if somebody wants to go a lot faster than is comfortable for a two-turn pace, he's more than willing to settle off of him. I breezed him a good, you know, 6-8 lengths off of Carlino the other day, who's not a real speed horse. So, you know, he was content to stay back there. He stayed there until the riders cued him, and he was behind him for a good quarter of a mile and kind of passed him at the eighth pole. But it was a really good, nice workout and gave me even more confidence in him.
Interesting comments from Mark. Talking about strike power, here's a horse that's 2-for-2 lifetime, won the Grade 3 Swale last time out, and Jude, we kind of touched on this yesterday when you and I were talking about the Fountain of Youth. He has the look of a Wildcat Red type of horse in this year's Fountain of Youth, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, he showed a lot of speed, but the 7/8 victory kind of indicates he could get the mile in an eighth, no problem. So today's distance should be within his wheelhouse. It's going to depend on how he handles everything, how he handles the extra turn, how relaxed he is. But he's been very impressive so far, and I don't think he's without a chance in this race.
And he has a nice pedigree to stretch out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's by Spitestown, which Spitestown a champion sprinter, but his horses will run on. He's been a great sire. And he's out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare, so
right.
Why can't this horse stretch out?
Yeah, Spitestown, just a few miles up the road
yeah.
from here.
Yeah. We went past the Spitestown sign yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah,
yes, we did.
We didn't quite make it to Spitestown, but yeah, there's so many. That's kind of cool how a lot of those cities around here,
bar.
You know, are named.
Exactly.
That's a shocker.
But you go around Barbados, and so many town names here are familiar horses, you know,
yeah.
like Spitestown. So. But, yeah, strike power, man, he's fast. He's just super quick. You just kind of wonder, you know, how distance-limited he is. But we'll find a whole lot out today.
And, by the way, yesterday on Express Bet Radio, Dale Romans broke the news. There was a chance, and they may have already done so. I haven't seen any reports yet. They may scratch Free Drop Billy, who is second choice in the Fountain of Youth today. Behind Good Magic, they may scratch him and instead await the Gotham in New York. So we'll see how that plays out. He wasn't convinced he was going to do it yet, but as of yesterday afternoon, he told Anthony and Dan that there was a chance he may scratch Free Drop Billy. So keep an eye on that as we move closer to post time for that Fountain of Youth. Again, that race all part of a big afternoon of racing coverage for you here on the network. We begin it at 3:00 Eastern time. We will open the show from Barbados, and then after the 37th Barbados Gold Cup, we will head down to South Florida, where Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason will take you through all of the action from Gulfstream Park, including the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. The coverage, 3:00 Eastern, Sirius XM 83, and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. And it is all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence, as is this edition of the Equine Forum and throughout the entire month of March. We'll get to another break. When we come back, Mike Nyman will be with us, the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. We'll talk to him, well, about the entire program there today. It's a big afternoon of racing in South Florida. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Presented by Red Brand, manufacturer of Keepsake V-Mesh and Non-Climb Horse Fence, trusted by farms and veterinarians worldwide.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Fans, make plans now to be here at Santa Anita for one of the biggest days of the year, Santa Anita Handicap Day, on Saturday, March 10th. In addition to the 81st running of the legendary Big Cap, the biggest race of the day could be the Grade 2 $400,000 San Felipe, which is the final major stepping stone to the $1 million Santa Anita Derby. Please note, in addition to a $500,000 guaranteed late pick four each weekend, Santa Anita now offers a revamped wagering menu that includes win, place, or show parlay wagers, 50-cent trifectas, and more. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But it's a domineering display by the ultra-talented McKenzie as he takes the sham while well in hand.
Avery Island is simply too good, and he wins the Withers by just over two lengths.
McKenzie remained undefeated with a victory in the Grade 3 Sham Stakes in January, and Avery Island stamped himself a major player on the road to the Kentucky Derby with a big win in the Grade 3 Withers at Aqueduct in his three-year-old debut. Those victories make McKenzie and Avery Island your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. Street Sense now has three graded stakes winners on dirt in 2018, including exciting Kentucky Derby contenders McKenzie and Avery Island. No stallion has more. Learn about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
With less than 5/16 to go, Tricks to Do is all in as Strike Power continues to roll along. At the quarter mile pole, Strike Power has it by two over Diamond King second. Gotta Go is now running on the inside with outside running Tricks to Do, but Strike Power straightens for the drive on top by five lengths now. Diamond King is trying to get into second with Gotta Go toward the inside with a 1/16 of a mile to run. Strike Power still has the lead, and he's the real deal. Strike Power to win the Swale in just his second career outing. He won it by three. Gotta Go second, Diamond King third, close for fourth between Tricks to Do and Empire Power in 1:22 and 3.
Mike Pena, Jude Feld, Larry Colmus with you on the Equine Forum on HRRN. That was Pete Aiello with the call of the Swale Stakes. Strike Power, a perfect 2-for-2 with that victory. We'll see if he can make it 3-for-3 later this afternoon in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Once again, that coverage coming up 3 o'clock Eastern, part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. You can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 83 and listen to us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. We bring you the Barbados Gold Cup first and then segue into that coverage of the Fountain of Youth from Gulfstream Park. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, is with us now. And Mike, going to be a big day in South Florida, my friend.
No doubt about it, and it's going to be very busy here, beautiful weather. It's going to be mid-70s. It's clear. Already have a big crowd out here for the breakfast. A lot of customers here early already, getting ready for first post at 11:30, 14 race card.
Yeah, 14 races. The Fountain of Youth will be the final of those 14, and what is it, 7 or 8 graded stakes? Is that right?
Yep, there's 8 graded stakes, and then just for show, throw in a $100,000 stake race to Sand Springs. So you got 8 graded, 9 total stakes, 7 on the turf, 7 on the dirt. Get busy handicapping today because it's a good card.
a lot of nice horses running, and the Fountain of Youth. How's that shaping up for you? I know you pay a lot of attention to these horses. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm excited because, you know, you have a really nice field here. Of course, we have the, you know, Good Magic, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So that obviously is going to make him the favorite. He's 7-5 on the morning line. But there's a lot of nice horses in here. It looks like it's going to be a really good race. Got a few, really have three horses out of that Breeders' Cup Juvenile in this race. And also several horses that ran in the Holy Bull with Audible, who's appointed now for the Florida Derby. So this is exciting to see what's going to shape up out of here. And then I think we're going to have like an amazing Florida Derby. Looks like we've got a lot of good horses.
And, Mike, a huge guarantee into that Rainbow Six wager today, which always adds to the intrigue of big days, Super Saturdays like this during the championship meet. I guess a $3 million Rainbow Six guarantee, is that right?
Yes, $3 million, and hopefully somebody can take it down and win the pool for the 20 cents. It's been a while. I know a lot of people, they love the mandatory day. Actually, the pool has generated to this point a lot faster than it did when we actually had the mandatory day the day after the Pegasus. So customers were right back at it, and it seems like everybody loves the bet, so it's all good.
Mike, of course, these big race days kind of sell themselves, and they're easy to market. But when you talk to people about a day like this, what are some of the things that you want them to know when they come to Gulfstream Park?
Well, first of all, you know, for people that, you know, come once in a while on certain big event days, you know, the main attraction for a lot of people is, you know, they can come to a sporting event, basically, free parking, free admission. You know, we do $3 beer and wine. So for a lot of those people, it's a nice day. It doesn't, you know, kill their pocket, their wallet. And, you know, they'll bet their few dollars. Some people come, you know, they spend more time. You know, they like to be in the casino in between races. So they have that option for those, you know, who don't like to wait the 25, 30 minutes in between races and don't spend as much time handicapping. And it just, so much is happening, you know, during the day, and there's just so much here to offer. And our Ten Palms restaurant will be pretty filled to capacity today. And so pretty much on these days, this place is full. The parking lot will be full probably around, you know, 2, 3 o'clock. So those are here, I would suggest you come on out early.
Yeah, it's a great time of year to go racing, and you get a lot of families out there, people having a good time and having a few cocktails, enjoying the races. It's a great event, and, of course, leading to the Florida Derby, which so many people are interested in. It's been such a tremendous Kentucky Derby prep, and you got to be looking forward to that.
No doubt about it. I mean, like we say, the Triple Crown runs through Gulfstream Park, and it's shown that over history here. How many horses not only have won the Florida Derby or raced in the Florida Derby and won the Kentucky Derby or any other of the Triple Crown races. It's a huge number, and we're proud to be part of that. And, you know, of course, this time of year, our weather is pretty much on spot on, and this is the place to be, naturally. Especially what's going on up north when you have these, whatever they call it, that cyclone bomb. You know, it's obviously much tougher when you have horses up north and you're not in a warm weather climate in the winter. So that obviously plays in our favor, and it's what makes this place go.
Talking with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, which is a contest, the concept of which you came up with, giving away a trip for two to this year's Florida Derby at the end of March, that comes to an end after the Fountain of Youth this afternoon, and it's been extremely popular. So we want to thank all of our listeners all over the world who have competed in this contest. And if folks can't get into a position to win it, now there are several people that still have a chance to win it by picking the winner of the Fountain of Youth Stakes later today, but if people can't win it, they can still get into the top 10 and pick up a nice prize pack from Gulfstream Park and from the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, you know, our thanks on behalf of HRN Nation to you for making this all possible.
You know, and it's been a great contest. It's been successful. I'm really looking forward to see who we're crowning as the winner today and making all their arrangements next week to be with us during that weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. We're going to make it amazing for you. So looking forward to that. And as you mentioned, there's, you know, other prizes in there, and it's, you know, for those who don't win and you finish in the top 10, you'll get a nice prize package from us. And, you know, hopefully we'll bring it back again next year. I think it's a great way, you know, for Gulfstream Park and to put that out, especially for, you know, on your show where a lot of the listeners don't live here in the local market, obviously, and gives people a chance to say, hey, you know, I could be down there and part of the Florida Derby. So the contest went really smooth, I think, and you had a lot of people play. So we're very pleased with it, and, you know, let's hope we can bring it back for next year.
What about your fantasy game? How did that go the first week?
It went very well. We had almost 1,100 players. We'll have about 1,500 today. And that's going really well. So that's stablebattles.com. You can still register today and play. You can get your picks in up to noon today. It's very simple. You're picking 8 races, 8 winners. But the difference is versus, this is more fantasy because you're judged not on the mutual prices, but on actually the horse's earnings. So you don't have to be afraid if you think a horse is, you know, 3 to 5 even money in a typical, you know, money contest. People will stay away from those kind of horses. But in a contest like this, you're looking just for the winner because you'll be credited with whatever they earn in the purse money in that race. So if it's in a Fountain of Youth and you pick the winner, then you're getting $240,000 onto your bankroll. So that'll go on for another 12 weeks. And the winner is going to get 10% in a horse that Tropical Racing has donated, and no bills, so you have no downside. And if the horse makes money, you make money, and if he doesn't, you have no out-of-pocket costs. We have weekly prizes, so we do this every week, and we think it's a cool thing, and we're trying to, you know, introduce people as far as, you know, not just always, you know, the playing the game, but maybe possible ownership and being involved with racing, you know, at that level. So so far we're very pleased, and it seems like it's working out well.
Mike, what's the website where people can play?
That's stablebattles.com.
All right, stablebattles.com. Head there now and get your entry in. It's a cool concept and a really fun contest, so head there now, stablebattles.com. Mike, before we let you go, I know you are squarely focused on the championship meet at this point. You're kind of in the middle of that meet, and everything's really ramping up as we edge closer to the Florida Derby, but a press release from Gulfstream coming out this week announcing that Gulfstream will grow the summer meet with purses totaling, or at least stakes purses, totaling $4.1 million. That's impressive.
No doubt about it. I mean, since we started this, I don't know, 3-4 years ago running in the summers, you know, it's taken a while, you know, take a little time for everybody to adjust to that, our racing schedule and, you know, how it changes during the year, and we're really open 10 months racing. So the spring-summer's really taken off, and that's why they're raising the purses, because handle has been very strong, and it's worked out really well for Gulfstream. So that should be, you know, all good for us.
Yeah, 34 stakes races going to be contested between April 21st and September 29th, including a couple of Breeders' Cup Challenge races at Smile Sprint and the Princess Rooney on June 30th. So it should be good. Mark your calendars for those races coming up during the summer meet at Gulfstream Park. Mike, enjoy the Fountain of Youth. As always, appreciate the visit here this morning, and we'll look forward to catching up next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I heard that Larry's with you guys, so I want to say hi to Larry. Haven't seen him in a while, but glad you're enjoying, hopefully enjoying Barbados. And, of course, I have to say good luck to the Ramseys, and you got a big fan base here at Gulfstream rooting for you today.
Yep, good to talk to you again, Mike, and things are going really well down here in Barbados. It's beautiful for this racing day, and I always thought, you know, the Fountain of Youth, to me, was that whole day was probably the most exciting day of the meet. Of course, I wasn't around, Pegasus wasn't around when I was there, but to me, like, Fountain of Youth, you know, at the height of the season, was almost more exciting than the Florida Derby, so it's always a great, great day.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and it's going to be a great day. I agree with you 100%. And the Pegasus, it's interesting you bring it up. It was a lot different crowd than we typically have, you know, on these big racing days. So today we get, you know, it's a lot more of the local market, and It's great. Matter of fact, I mentioned, I know you said you weren't here for the Pegasus, but, you know, we also ran this year the Caribbean Classic, and that was a whole different event here. It was like a day at Gulfstream I've never seen with the passion from all these countries and the flags, you know, like going to the World Cup Soccer or the World Baseball Classic. It was just an amazing thing here of what I've experienced in almost 8 years. So that also, you know, adds to the excitement and the fan base, and today will be a day just like that.
Yeah, outstanding. It should be a lot of fun. It's the Fountain of Youth, and again, our coverage, 3 o'clock Eastern here on the network, Sirius XM83. That's a different channel than you're listening to now, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Mike, appreciate it, my friend, and we'll catch up next week.
Take care. Looking forward to it. Have a great trip.
All right, you got it. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. Always a fun visit, and big afternoon of thoroughbred racing in South Florida. Of course, we will be back down there at the end of March to bring you our exclusive coverage of the Florida Derby. Excuse me. That should be a lot of fun, too. Looking forward to that. Florida Derby is always a great time.
Yeah. It was always, toward the very end of the height of the season. And, you know, for me, it was like call the Florida Derby and then pack the car the next day and head on north.
Right.
But hey, they keep on going there now. I mean, it's a year-round facility, and they're doing really well this winter.
All right. It is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Pearlswig trainer of Lord Avey dies at the age of 91. That's right, trainer Dan Pearlswig, who spent more than 50 years in racing and is best known as trainer of champion Lord Avey, died February 27th. He was 91. In the days before the 1981 Florida Derby, Pearlswig channeled his inner Joe Namath and guaranteed Lord Avey would win the top-level race for three-year-olds at Gulfstream Park. Like the guarantee by Namath ahead of the New York Jets' victory in Super Bowl III, Pearlswig would prove prescient as Lord Avey won that race by 4.5 lengths. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, head over to bloodhorse.com and don't miss any coverage of three-year-old Derby prep races and other races around the country like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both of those are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. Larry, Dan Pearlswig, somebody who you knew quite well, and you brought it up to me the other day when you saw the news that he had passed away. A sad day for racing.
Great guy. Great guy. And we used to see Dan talking about Gulfstream Park. Used to have breakfast at this place, Ocean Alley on Hollywood Boulevard, and Dan Pearlswig would be walking the broadwalk down there, and he'd stop by and tell a couple of stories and then get back on his walk. In his later years, he was on cruise ships. He would go on cruise ships and dance with the older ladies. And he was like a great dancer, just a fun guy. And I know his son Mark, who's a terrific guy, and his people at Monmouth would know. Mark's wife Carolyn runs the Horseman's parking lot at Monmouth Park.
Oh wow!
And their son Dan Pearlswig III is another great kid who I know from Jersey. So I know the family really well. But Danny Pearlswig, was just a super, super guy, and always enjoy talking with him. A great guy.
Yeah, he will definitely be missed. All right, we do have to get to another commercial break. We'll come back, and we'll tell you what's ahead this afternoon. We'll talk a little bit more about the Barbados Gold Cup as we are live from Garrison Savannah in Barbados. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride with a record 94 stakes races worth $28.6 million in purses, including the Fountain of Youth on Saturday, March 3rd, and the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 31st. Take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the Rainbow Six. And every Saturday, be sure to bring the whole family out to enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream from 8 to 10:30. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com or download the Gulfstream Park app on your mobile device.
Castleton Lions is home to Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
This is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The fast of Storm is rolling him up as they come to the past the quarter mark. They got a furlong and a half to go. Nicodemus is third. Talk about Lucky is trying, but it's between the first two as they come from home. Up husband to Jonathan Jones, and here comes Blast of Storm. Inside the final furlong, in the inside is Airy Hill, but Blast of Storm drawing away from Airy Hill. The third horse on the outside is Talk About Lucky, Storm Hunter, but Blast of Storm is going to make it three in a row, and does now. Blast of Storm wins it by half a length from Hilly. Then the next one through is Talk About Lucky, Storm Hunter, Wahoo, Nicodemus, who ran his heart out, Dance Numerous, Adamar. Then comes Airy Hill.
Blast of Storm, the only horse to win the Barbados Gold Cup three consecutive years. That is what Dorsett will try to do later this afternoon when he goes to the post in the 37th running of the Caribbean's most prestigious horse race. We're going to have the coverage for you here on the network, as we told you, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. And Blast of Storm has a statue positioned directly in front of our broadcast spot here today. He is remembered with that statue on the other side of the paddock, and the paddock on the inside of the turf course where the Gold Cup will be contested later today. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, Larry Colmus with you at Garrison Savannah getting set for that coverage. And Jude, we heard Robert Pierce, the trainer of Dorsett, who joined us in the first half of the program. We heard him talk about trying to win it a third time. And I asked him about Blast of Storm and how difficult that really was for him, and what an accomplishment it was. And he said, you know, just to get a horse here 3 years in a row and to get them here in top form and sound 3 years in a row is an accomplishment. Forget about winning the race 3 years in a row.
Right. Well, as any trainer knows, that is a tremendous accomplishment. I mean, you see horses over the years that have been able to do that. Some horses, have actually run in 4, 5, maybe 6 stakes in a row if they have a long enough career. Basically unheard of to do that, but it has happened. But to win a race 3 years in a row, just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, any race, really.
Any race. But, you know, trainers have a tendency to point for certain stakes, and you want to run in them as many times as you can. They usually fit your horse if you win it the first time, so you want to take advantage of those great conditions. I had a filly, Vilvin, that ran 3 years in a row at Del Mar in the same stakes, the Chula Vista in those days. it's now the Clement L. Hirsch.
Yep.
But she won the first time. She chipped her knee in the second one and then got beat a nose in the third one. So she obviously didn't win all three, but she ran well every time she ran.
The other element of that, trying to win the race three consecutive years, is not just getting your horse here sound and having them on their A game and then having everything go right during the race, but you're contending with other top horses from all over the world that tend to come here to Garrison Savannah. And now with Ken Ramsey coming each and every year with some of his top horses, including this year with Grade 2 winner Shining Copper and Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, you really have to be good. You have to be even better than good when you come here to Garrison Savannah.
Oh, absolutely. And we alluded to that earlier in the show. And Ken Ramsey was, he was happy that his horses ran well here last year, but he didn't win, and he wants to win.
Yeah.
So he's bringing better horses this year to try to beat Dorsett, and Dorsett's got to be better than he was last year to beat Shining Copper and Sir Dudley Diggs.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Ramsey, he's really elevated this race quite a bit with the horses that he's brought already, but he continues to force them up the ladder. And a couple years ago, we did an interview with Sir David Seal, the president of the Barbados Turf Club, and he said, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword for him. He loves having Ken here. He enjoys Ken's company, and he likes his horses. But as an owner, he wished he'd stay home. So, you know, it is like that. I mean, you want the good horses to come. You want your race and your racetrack to be as good as it can be. But when you're running in the races, you like a chance to win too. So, but that's good. It makes the owners here, you know, pick up their head, get some better horses, and we have a very competitive field today.
Yeah, those three horses are going to steal most of the spotlight, and I think rightfully so, because on paper they appear to be the three best horses in the race. But there were nine horses that were entered this past week, and one horse did not make the trip. That is Chip Leader, a son of Giants Causeway, who was coming from the United States. He did not make it here to Barbados, so we are down to a field of eight at this point. There have not been any scratches that we are aware of. Marcus Antonius is a local horse that we have seen before. He is owned by Sir David Seal, who you just talked about, Jude. Sir David's black and red colors are going to be worn by the rider of Marcus Antonius, and Sir David Seal has a tendency to jump up with a big horse in this race. He's the all-time leading owner in Gold Cup history with six victories, and his wife Ann also owned one. So he knows how to win this race, and boy, would it be special if Marcus Antonius could pull it off.
Yeah, it would be great for Sir David. He's a wonderful man, but I think Marcus Antonius might be a little up against it. He hasn't been in the best form of late, but there are a couple of locals that have run good numbers. Just a Fashion, who's trained by Victor Cheeseman, who I refer to as the Todd Pletcher of Barbados. Victor Cheeseman, an excellent trainer. This horse's speed figure is very competitive with Shining Copper and Sir Dudley Diggs. I think he's got a chance. And then the horse on the outside, Infrared, by Discreetly Mine out of a Street Cry Mare. This horse, he's a five-year-old. He also has a competitive speed figure. He ran third to Dorsett two races back on Boxing Day, opening day of the season here. So, I think those two horses, you probably should use those in your exacta if you're playing.
Yeah, we've been talking about Just the Fashion for several years, especially with our coverage here. Just the Fashion making his fourth consecutive appearance in the Gold Cup. He was sixth in 2015, and he was eighth in both 2016 and 2017. So we'll see if he can reverse that form and maybe pull off a bit of an upset here today. Infrared, one of three horses returning from last year's race. He was sixth last year. And, of course, Marcus Antonius competing in the Gold Cup for the third time. So some other storylines outside of the big guns. But let's face it, it's Dorsett going for three, and it's Shining Copper and Sir Dudley Diggs. Those are really all of the horses that people will have their eye on for the most part.
Yeah, that's the story, those three for sure. And we'll find out in just a few hours which one of those, or if there's an upset, can get the job done. I mean, it's going to be exciting. I love the fact that we're right here, right so close to the racetrack and the finish line. It feels like you could just reach it from here.
You had a chance to walk up to the announcer's booth with Dean Springer, the commentator here at Garrison Savannah. You spent a little time looking over your vantage point that you're going to have later today when you call the Spa Sprint. A bit of a different look as they turn for home here, isn't it?
It's tough. It's tough where they have the finish line. It's actually past the finish line the announcer's booth is, and you're looking basically at a head-on shot as they come down the stretch. They come straight at you, and Dean was telling me, if it looks like the inside horses are in front, they're probably not. The outside horses are a lot better than they look from your angle.
Good,
so
to know.
He was giving me a little help because it's good to have some course knowledge if you're not used to something. And it's a rough angle at the finish. Believe me, if it's close, I'm not calling the finish of that race.
You don't have a TV monitor in your booth to turn around and look at like Kurt Becker does at Keeneland when they do the mile and a 16th races.
There is one there. There is one there.
Oh, there is.
I'm not so sure I'm going to be using it, though. I'm not really prepared to look back away from the action. We'll just say it's too close to call.
Yeah, it's not really an advantage point, is it? It's a really difficult place to call a race from, especially the finish and down the lane. Your depth perception has to be pretty good. I sent you that note a long time ago when they first said you were going to call the race. I said, hey, depth perception is key here.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Like the, you know, every announcer's booth you go to, each one is different, and the angles are different, and you just got to get it used to it. Belmont Park, for instance, when they hit the wire, the outside horse is better than it looks. The only track that I can say for sure, when you look at that finish line and you see the nose hit, and you know who won, is Saratoga. For some reason, the angle is fantastic there, but Belmont, it's tough. And Santa Anita calling those two crazy finishes in the Breeders' Cup with Beholder and Mucho Macho Man, those noses. And I kept going back and saying, don't do that again. Don't ever do that again. And I'm not doing it today.
Should be fun. And, of course, Larry Coleman is calling his first clockwise race this afternoon with that Spa Sprint. We will try, if we have time on our coverage this afternoon at 3 Eastern, we'll try to bring you a snippet of that call. I think it would be really fun for people to hear. So we'll try to get that to you later today. Going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired 4 millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include 4-time graded stakes winner Miss Sky Warrior, 3-time graded stakes winner Sharp Samurai, multiple stakes winner Bell Harbor, and Dubai Group 3 winner Shamal Nibras. Last year, his 2-year-old sold up to $540,000, while his yearlings fetched up to a whopping $575,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
It's Snapper Sinclair game. He's reaching for the line. It's Snapper Sinclair to do it.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Jimmy John's America's number one sandwich delivery, fast Ed speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good, but I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
Oh, I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Power.
And Tafazar, a sterling performance today. Tafazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. Varonge Rue and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Larry Colmus, wrapping up a very busy morning, but we're not done yet. Back 3 Eastern with coverage of the Barbados Gold Cup. It's all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. Make sure you tune in Sirius XM83 and stream us worldwide wherever you might be on our website, horseracingradio.net. It is a gorgeous day here in Barbados. The flags are blowing. There's a beautiful breeze coming off of the ocean. Garrison Savannah just looking very festive as we get set for the 37th running of this historic race. It should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to bringing you that coverage. Our thanks to our special guest for joining us this morning. That is trainer Robert Pierce, Ken Ramsey, Nolan Ramsey, and Katie Clausen, jockey Jose Ortiz, and Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park. We've covered a lot of ground today, gentlemen. JT, what do you think? You ready?
Well, I'm ready. I've been ready for, well, since we left here last year.
You get to focus on calling a race now. This is like any other day for you.
Well, sort of, yeah.
kind of.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, I've got my my iPad here and got all the jockey silks ready for the race, and it's going to be going to be good. Hopefully they'll have the colors that I think they're going to be wearing.
Let's hope it all works out.
We'll adjust either way.
Hopefully we have the scratches and changes before too long.
Yeah, that's right, too. That should be coming soon. Well, it's going to be fun here in Barbados. It's going to be fun at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, where Anthony Stabile and Dan Mason will be positioned later this afternoon for coverage of the Fountain of Youth. Again, it all kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern, so make sure you check back and join us then. If you missed any portion of the show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure and at HRN on Twitter. For Lee Delapina and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, for Michelle Penna on site, for Jude Feld, Larry Colmus, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
Good night, Barbados.